You're connected to WebTalk at WebTalkRadio.com. My name is Rob Greenlee, and thank you for listening to the show from around the world. And we keep you plugged into the latest net trends and some very cool connected guests on the show, don't we, Dana?
Well, if you're listening to our show, you certainly know that audio on the internet is huge. Video is just growing by leaps and bounds as we have better access to broadband and better tools to in which to make it and view it. A pioneer and a site and service that have been around for years is SingingFish.com. Karen Howe, the CEO of Singing Fish, actually is now Executive Vice President General Manager of AOL Singing Fish. AOL acquired Singing Fish not long ago. And she's joining us to tell us about the new landscape of audio and video on the web.
Karen, thank you for coming on the show again.
Hey, Rob. It's good to be back.
Hey, it's been almost, 2 years since you were on the show last time to talk about SingingFish.com, and I'm sure there's been a lot of things that have changed. Why don't you kind of run through for us kind of an explanation of what SingingFish.com is and what it does in the area of search for all those listeners maybe that are not aware of you yet.
Well, for folks that aren't familiar, SingingFish.com is the site where people can go to look for audio and video that they're most interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened with our company is that we were purchased by AOL it's been over a year now that we've been purchased and integrated into AOL. So we also power the audio video search area within the AOL client, so people mm-hmm. who have an AOL subscription also have access to Singing Fish. And then what we do, too, is we also power the audio-video search component on WindowsMedia.com and, of course, Real Networks. And just to kind of give you a window into some of the new stuff that we've been doing, we've also extended that reach through syndication into InfoSpace partners. And so that would include Dogpile and Metacrawler and Excite as other locations where you could also find Singing Fish search available.
Wow, that's terrific that you guys have expanded into those areas. Now, you guys are still based up in Seattle, right?
Still based in Seattle, which means that AOL is still based in Virginia.
And you fly back and forth on a regular basis, I would imagine.
On a regular basis, yeah. And that time change is still 3 hours. Yep. So there's certain constants in the world that do not change.
Yeah. When we last talked to you, AOL was looking at acquiring Singing Fish. Why don't mm-hmm. you tell us a little bit about how things have been since the acquisition occurred 2 years ago?
What's been great about this process is that, first of all, there was already a group of individuals who work for AOL in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
So we weren't exactly a lone outpost. There's a wireless group here, and there's another group called TGIC that's also here. So there's about 80 or 100 people that are associated with AOL, so we're all together, which is nice.
Yeah.
So you don't feel like you're a complete, you know, distance away.
You're amongst friends, right?
Amongst people who at least, if you say the same acronym, they might know what it means.
Oh, okay.
So that's
helpful.
They have the name, they have the nomenclature down, kind of. So they also help with our getting used to what it's like to be part of a remote site.
Sure.
And that just kind of aided our integration. And then AOL, I think, very wisely decided not to mess with us too much for the first several months of after our acquisition, and that allowed us opportunity to stabilize, try to figure out what we were going to do as our business plan going forward. Because what we weren't sure is if, for example, AOL wanted to continue the syndication business that we have engaged in.
Mm-hmm.
And there are just certain areas that we needed to kind of test and say, okay, are we going to keep doing this? Are we going to bring services inside and just keep them exclusive to AOL members? Well, through that process, we were able to cut our operating costs because we could transition equipment and use the Dulles, Virginia site.
Mm-hmm.
We had massive servers and massive bandwidth.
Yeah, that's helpful.
So it dropped my operating costs dramatically, which is a huge benefit, and allowed us to get to a 24/7 type support network that we could never have before. So right away we got some clear advantages. And then, of course, we went live on the AOL site immediately and then added Canada and Germany right after that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're also working to extend ourselves to other AOL web properties as quickly as possible. So AIM is an opportunity for us, as well as Netscape, as well as a host of other AOL-related sites such as AOL Music and AOL Video.
Sure. Well, last time we talked, there was a little bit of, I guess, some testing going on that AOL was doing with blended search results with their regular search results coming up with like maybe a link to a media file or something like that. Is that something that is still being worked on, or what's
the status
on that?
I would say how that's kind of morphed, Rob, is that it's more of trying to understand a contextual search from pulling from a variety of different search sources.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this concept of a snapshot, so that if you do a search, let's just use something very generic like a Britney Spears, then what you'd see is a bunch of related topic areas related to that individual. So it could be music search, or it could be tickets, or it could be posters, or it could be an interview, or it could be text.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pulled together in one clear area that's literally a snapshot of a bunch of different things that contextually relate to that one query.
Oh, okay.
So I would say that we've started to extend ourselves into offering a better solution to end users on the AOL site in that specific area.
So is that search result available on the public side as well as the subscribers?
You have to be an AOL member. You have to be an AOL member, to get Snapshot.
Oh, okay. So it's like a premium search service. It's only available to subscribers.
Right, at this time.
Oh, okay. Well, now you're on a short list of people that have been actually doing multimedia search online over the last few years. And what kind of search patterns are you guys seeing out there? What type of things are people primarily searching for in the multimedia area right now?
You know, it's still pretty consistent, Rob. I would say that most people are still looking for definitely entertainment-related types of content.
Mm-hmm.
And more specifically, they're still looking for music as being one of their primary areas. However, I'd also say where I've seen growth has been in movies and in news.
Okay.
And those topic areas or major categories will swap out of kind of a top spot depending on what just happened contextually in the world at that precise moment.
Oh, okay.
So if there was a big piece of news that hit, like the tsunami as a case in point, then suddenly you would see a huge spike in query volume for the term tsunami.
You guys would have links to some movies that were floating around online that a person could click on and be able to watch, it sounds
right,
like.
Right. We'd have news outlet information. We potentially would have some video blog information. Mm-hmm. I would say that's a new trend, Rob, that's just started to take place that we've noticed as an interesting phenomena. As these tools for creating content have become less expensive and yet still maintain a reasonably high quality aspect to them, that enables a broader set of people who aren't really professionals per se, but nonetheless they're able to take these tools, adapt them, and create content themselves.
Yeah, so you're going to get involved in actually basically adding to your database all these other types of content providers out there that are doing it on a personal basis.
I would say that the mission of Singing Fish is definitely to index as much of the AV content in the world as wants to be found.
Well, now, also when we last talked, you guys had reached a milestone of about 1 million searches a month. Where are you today, 2 years later, after all that?
There's a huge difference there in terms of the growth.
Yeah.
So when we relaunched a redesign of the website, we went from about 400,000-500,000 queries a day to about 800,000 queries a day overnight.
Wow.
And that's just on singingfish.com, which has no brand. I mean, it's never been promoted. And then I would say amongst all of our partners for AV Search, we've grown to well over 7 million queries a day.
Wow, that's a big change.
It's a big change. And so I would suggest that what's beginning to happen is that the use of audio-video search is becoming much more commonplace. And kind of a proof point to this is that when I mentioned that, you know, before we were on the Real Networks player and, of course, on the Windows Media Player, that kind of makes sense. You could logically understand why you would want AV search on a player. But if you look at the InfoSpace properties as a case in point, such as Metacrawler, Dogpile, Excite, those aren't media players.
No.
Those are just regular search engines.
Yeah.
And so, in fact, they're meta search engines, which means that they aggregate content from across a variety of sources. So if you do an audio or a video search there, they're extracting and pulling results from ourselves and from other sources to pull together a nice list of results for people to click on.
Mm-hmm.
And those sites are becoming very popular for AV.
Yeah, I would think that that would be the case. Are they blending the results, or are they segregating it out as a separate tab?
They aren't blending. The only case where I know that there's been some blend going on, that there's a group out of AOL France that's been experimenting with the user interface.
Okay.
Where there's difficulty is you've got a hard time judging what is the relevancy, the relative relevancy of that match of a query to the response.
Yeah, and it's all about being able to index either metadata or the actual, I guess, spoken part of the actual media stream.
Yeah, the better the metadata, the more likely it is that you'd be able to integrate web text search with AV type search. You know, because I would still continue to press the point that arguably I think you'd be better served by being able to have the end user pick which one they want to click on.
Mm-hmm.
But that also presupposes that you've got enough content across all categories to have a satisfactory experience.
Yeah.
But we've also discovered, too, just in general, that, you know, as we've been able to make certain improvements in our technology, on particular the spidering side, we're able to find much more content than we even knew existed before.
Oh,
so there's been, if you're looking for trends, usage has gone up, but so has the amount of content that's accessible.
So are you finding that there's more metadata available in the media file itself for you guys to look at?
Not always that, but it's more a case that there's actually just more content for us to find.
Okay.
So there's a lot more. I mean, people that did a little bit of content before are doing a lot more, and people who never had content now have content.
So are you actually looking at the web pages, too, to help come up with cross-referencing data? Okay.
Exactly. We look at the referring web page, so it's wherever that web page is and the text that's on that page and where that link is located on that page. We'll extract as much relevant information as we can from that site, and then, of course, we have intimate knowledge of the 250,000 domains that we interact with and are able to understand and categorize what that content is based on our knowledge of those domains.
Yeah. Well, now, if you look back when you guys first kind of put together Singing Fish, I would think that you primarily had streaming media in mind as the basis for the content that you guys find.
Mm-hmm.
But with some of the recent changes, and I know this gets back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier about how there's more people, more personal content that's being created online and made available. And also, if you look at the recent birth of podcasting, which is another form of personal content creation, it's kind of bringing into the focus here, if you look out in the future, the importance of downloads. Now, I know you guys have been offering MP3 links for a long time.
Right.
How important do you guys see the podcasting or the download aspect of what you're doing off of your search engine?
Well, I think it's important as long as it's important to an end user. And what we try to do is follow the interests and are guided by, you know, by what our end users are interested in and want to associate themselves with.
Yeah.
So, for example, Flash is another media format that we don't currently support, but there's a lot to recommend it. As more and more content is developed in Flash, it's very inexpensive to host, so there's advantages to the content provider. And so that's just a media type that we're going to have to find a way to support. And by the same token, you know, if downloads is what the end user is looking for, then trying to find ways to accommodate their ability to do so is important to us, while still respecting content right owners, the rights rather of the content owners.
Sure. Well, now, are you guys looking at the really simple syndication distribution format as part of your search result? Now, I know that there's some search engines that have added the whole RSS feed type basis for search results. Is that something you guys are looking at?
Yeah, and actually, I'll give a specific example. So the Real Simple Syndication, which is RSS, is something that Yahoo picked up, and they extended a bit to accommodate media types, because of course media is just a little bit different than text. And then what we did is we extended their extension.
Oh, okay.
And they accepted that extension, and as an example, Launch, which is one of their properties, is using our version of the RSS feed to give us an RSS feed. So RSS feeds are great for search engines, but this allows the content provider to do, of course, is to control their content.
Mm-hmm.
What do we get? When do we get it? When does it go live? When does it go dead? And it allows us on the front end to work with them about categorization, what is the stream about, you know, how much metadata is there, and we are able to get a much better index, you know, it really helps the quality of the index, yeah. and in turn helps the end user because they have something that makes sense to them.
Sure. Well, so would this feed that you guys might potentially have eventually off your site be an enclosure-based thing, or where the actual subscriber would actually get the media file delivered to them if it was available as a download?
That is something that we're looking at doing.
Uh-huh.
Right now, it's content providers giving us a feed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that we can continue to enrich the index itself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in order for an end user to subscribe to an RSS feed from Singing Fish, yeah. that is something that we're looking at trying to figure out how could we do that, and it's really not that hard to do.
No, it's not. And it seems like it's a big opportunity. You guys could be the biggest podcaster on the planet.
So, okay, that'd be fine.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And what types of media files are you guys seeing out there are the most popular ones that people are looking for right now? I know you can segregate right in the left
right.
navigation bar to look for Windows Media or Reel
right.
or QuickTime or, you know, the MP3 file format. What are people searching for the most?
You know, it is across all of the media file types that we support right now, which is the mm-hmm. Windows Media, Reel, QuickTime, and MP3.
Okay.
So MP3s are still very popular.
For music specifically,
for music
I would think.
Specifically.
Yeah.
We have a lot of content that's encoded in Reel format, and a lot that's encoded in Windows Media. Not as much QuickTime.
Mm-hmm.
QuickTime is a more difficult format for us to index in a lot of ways.
Why is that? What's different about QuickTime?
It's just trickier.
Okay.
It's just harder the way that they have worked out their particular software development kits and so forth for us to interact with. It's just harder.
What are you seeing out there as far as the impact of wireless broadband and some of these mobile devices, you know, like the iPod and things like that? Is that factoring into your guys' strategies looking forward in the future?
And I would say that it's been kind of the tipping point for us because as I sort of felt we were an entity that was sort of waiting for a big moment, and that mm-hmm. big moment happened when more and more people adopted broadband.
Okay.
So now that's why we've seen these enormous spikes in usage that just flip to double digits every month in mm-hmm. terms of growth.
Mm-hmm.
We see the number of unique users using singingfish.com, for example, grow every month. And we can do some back checking through some software that we have on our site to just see, well, are they dial-up? Are they broadband? And the preponderance is overwhelmingly broadband.
Sure. Well, your site's a broadband application.
It really is, but we need it in order for it to really take off and become popular and have more millions and billions of people use it all around the world. It meant that lots of people had to have access to broadband.
Mm-hmm. And also, I'm also seeing online a real upward trend in the bit rates that files are being formatted in.
I would say that the quality aspect is being improved. I mean, I have to say that there's a parallel between the publishing era, which was 10 years ago, mm-hmm. and desktop publishing in specific, and what's happening here. Because before, people were concerned about quality and, gee, we're going to ruin the life of designers forever because only professionals can do this, and topography, it was this big, scary area. And then as the tools became accessible online and more people could use it, it didn't negate the need for professionals to do this stuff, but people just did a better job with their content.
Yeah.
And I see that kind of with what's happening with the content that's being created by end users now.
Mm-hmm.
Before, you know, they've encoded at low bit rates, and it was chunky and herky-jerky in the delivery, and, you know, our aesthetics are improved, and they improved rather quickly. So we have kind of higher levels now. We kind of expect things to be a little bit better.
Well, yeah, and I also think that the software tools have gotten a lot better, too.
I mean, people will put up with a new technology for a while. While it continues to be an emerging technology, folks will have patience for hiccups
mm-hmm.
in technology delivery. But I would say that window is starting to close a bit because more and more, there's some excellent experiences online.
Mm-hmm.
And that's beginning to set the expectation level that the bar can be higher.
Oh, yeah. 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 I think I've seen that a lot, you know, with this whole podcasting phenomenon, too, from a spoken word content level as well. I mean, a lot of the content producers are actually making spoken word content at like 64 and 128K, which is like CD quality.
Mm-hmm.
And, And it's like, you know, especially on a download, I mean, some of these half-hour talk shows with podcasting are 30, 40 megabytes. You know, it's like, boy, 4 or 5 years ago, a 30 or 40 megabyte download for publishing an audio content online was just unheard of.
Inconceivable.
Yeah, exactly. It's just people just would not have the time to download something like that. Well, now, are you guys seeing that audio is still the predominant media type, or is video catching up?
I would say it's still audio, but video is definitely making some significant inroads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it certainly seems like video has the potential to totally blow away audio in the long run.
Well, it does, but keep in mind that there has to be a business rationale behind it.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that video does a wonderful job of explaining a concept or educating a population about a product or service or entertain an audience, for example, extremely well, but there's a cost associated with the production of that content.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's certainly more difficult to produce a video than audio. And I also think that what's also fascinating about video, too, when you compare it to audio, is that I think you get a lot more value per second out of a video than you do out of audio.
I think that what you can also do is you can extend your audience to be international in scope.
Mm-hmm.
So if your audience doesn't understand the audio stream, they might understand the picture.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's part of that value thing. For some reason that, you know, content that's in a video format, it's maybe 2 or 3 minutes long, always seems like there's so much more there than even a radio show that maybe is 20 or 30 minutes long. It's kind of like a perception thing. It just feels like it's more value. Are you guys planning on working very closely with TV shows and movies as you look out in the future? Is there some component to what you guys are looking at right now that could involve indexing and doing more with those?
There's certainly more that we could do with those. And you kind of begged the question about speech-to-text, for example, and in-stream indexing.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be the ability for somebody to be able to know exactly where they wanted to go within a particular stream and just go right to that point. And there's a technical overhead to that because it means that the machine basically listens and watches the video and detects when certain words are spoken or when a scene changes.
Yeah, it's almost like a voice recognition process.
A voice recognition process. There's always an image. There's also an image detection or shot detection process that can also be applied. Technically, those technologies are kind of in their adolescence.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of out of infancy, but into unruly teenager now, but not perfect.
Sure.
But the cost, the overhead to that is that you have to find a way to monetize that work.
Mm-hmm.
Because that technology costs money to do, and it costs money to store.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you don't have something that's just a few bytes of information. It's not just a little index link. You might have something that just takes up more storage.
So do you see that something that could be integrated in with an electronic program guide, TV guide concept? Is that the bigger vision right now? I've been hearing some talk about that.
Yeah, and I think the talk has been active for probably 4 years and will be active for another four. Because technically, those challenges can be overcome. Business model has not been overcome.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say that there's a great formula out there just yet to figure out how to monetize that content in such a way to make it worth the expenditure of cost because the end user is going to have to pay for it somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's through advertising or through subscription, you know, somebody's going to have to pay for the technology process to work.
Yeah.
So that's the piece I would say that virtually everyone is in the process of trying to figure out what makes sense, what makes business sense,
mm-hmm.
and what's really going to deliver a value to someone that they'd be willing to pay for.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question because, what value would a viewer get from being able to search by keyword on like a TV show, let's say a Boston Legal TV show or an Alias or something like that. I mean, I guess you could link to a particular short segment of that show or something like that in the context of some other content or something like that. That'd be one piece of value. Is there anything else you can think of that a person might get from that?
Right, beyond highlights, which is kind of what you're referencing there, I think the best use case would probably be an enterprise.
Okay.
And that's where you've got a training video where the speaker's been going on for 3 days about different chip designs, but you only care about the 821.
Okay.
Now, you want to just go to that one segment. of the 821 and listen to that half hour about that chip.
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes sense. You're saving people time, therefore saving money, therefore business case. So, and it kind of can prove itself there.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see that making sense first. And then that can be, and as the technology gets cheaper, it can be replicated then on a broader scale. For example, like what we do, but we have so many access to so many streams in the index. It's millions upon millions, and so the idea of, you know, going through virtually every single stream with that methodology is daunting.
Yeah, that's a lot of processing power you'd have to have.
But processing, and the problem too is that, like on music, it wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It just wouldn't work. There may be ways to do snippets of content, and in particular, doing clips of content that are relevant, and then maybe not pushing it to your computer, maybe it's pushing it to your mobile device. A clip would be perfectly relevant. It's all you want. It's all you can ingest, and that's fine.
Let's talk a little bit about how a content provider can get into Singing Fish and what's involved in all that.
Very straightforward. You just submit your site to Singing Fish, and we will either spider it, or if you'd like to set up an RSS feed, we'll do that. So it's however you want to do it.
Okay.
And we're delighted to have access to the content in that way where you contact us, because that way we know there's no issue.
Mm-hmm. Now, you guys do have a paid inclusion program. How does that differ from your free submission process?
For the paid inclusion, that's for folks that want to ensure for absolutely guarantee that their content is in the index.
Okay.
And who also want to take advantage of the fact that we pop up a referring web page to the content,
mm-hmm.
which can be customized any way that they want.
Oh.
So if they wanted to link that media experience that was happening right at that moment,
mm-hmm.
for example, to buy the DVD, then they could customize that landing page to be, again, anything that they wanted, so they can monetize it any way that they wanted.
Oh,
so
okay.
That's just an avenue that we've been experimenting with to see if people are interested in. And we get, you know, a few people every day that sign up for this that decide that, yep, I just have a few streams, but I'd really like to see if I could maximize those streams' ability to generate revenue for me.
So do you see a lot of personal content producers or even musical groups that aren't really part of any big label or anything like that being able to work with you guys as you look out in the future to help monetize their content? What systems do you guys have to enable that?
The best system, of course, is the RSS feed, because that way they get to control.
Mm-hmm.
The trick for music labels or for even musicians, what they have to weigh is the fact that if they give us clips, which are 30 seconds duration or less,
mm-hmm.
the public is less interested in that. I have statistics I can show them to say that anything that's 3 minutes or longer in duration is a far more popular item.
For all forms of content, or is that just music?
All forms of content.
Okay. Well,
so the longer, the better. People like, they're willing to spend a half an hour on Singing Fish, for example,
mm-hmm.
doing multiple searches and watching through fairly extensive amounts of content.
That's a fascinating question, because for many years, at least, doing this show for the mm-hmm. 6 years that I've done it, that when I first started doing it, that my perception was that people had pretty short attention spans to audio and video online. Like maybe they'd only spend 15 minutes in the front of their computer or something like that. Are you seeing longer form content becoming more popular because of broadband and mobile devices and things?
I do see it becoming more popular. And I also think that people have made some decisions for themselves about how they want to spend their time.
Mm-hmm.
And if the program is of interest to them, they'll spend the required length of time, whether it's 30 minutes or 45 minutes, and they'll invest because they've made that decision that this is where they want to spend their time.
Mm-hmm.
There's a payoff for them in this. When we were talking earlier about just the quality of the videos, not that long ago, they really weren't that good. They were at low bit rates and just kind of unpleasant. And people put up with it, with the expectation that it would get better. It has gotten better. And the expectation is that the production value can be enhanced without spending a lot of money or effort or time or even having a lot of skills to do it.
What do you see happening in the media landscape right now? Now, you're like I said before, you're kind of in a unique perspective. Do you see major media kind of losing some traction out there compared to like homegrown content, personal content, people that are creating content at the grassroots level?
No, I don't. I think that it's more a case of happy coexistence.
Okay.
Because the world can always use more content. There isn't a finite amount that we can only ingest X amount, you know.
That's true. And actually, if you look at the numbers, there's very, very few people at this point that are actually consuming online media right now.
Comparatively speaking, yeah. Right, to web search, absolutely. So there's billions of people out there that are primed to be exposed to this great content that's becoming more and more available. The other thing it does is that when you get great content that some group of kids did in Sweden, mm-hmm. it challenges the professionals in ways that they hadn't perhaps anticipated.
Well, that's exactly like what's happening with podcasting right now.
Well, when you get somebody that does a nice piece of creative work, I mean a nice piece, mm-hmm. everybody with a creative background can look at that and acknowledge what went into that. And it forces you, again, to kind of check your own station and figure out, well, maybe I need to up my game a bit here because look at these kids in Sweden.
I mean, I'm a perfect example of that myself. I mean, I've been doing my show for 6 years now, mm-hmm. And I invested $10,000 in the equipment in our studio and have all this fancy mixers and all this stuff. And I did a search last week and online to try and find kind of like a mobile recording solution
uh-huh.
for my laptop. You know, to get a mixer and get like maybe a telephone patch-in capability, and I was able to get all of the same tools that I bought. I had to spend $10,000 for about $300 for my laptop.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, it's like, it's just totally amazing. I can get it like a 4-channel mixer that's about the size of an iPod. It's just going to cause just an explosion, I think, of content online.
Right, and the capacity for it to be relatively good content is pretty high.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the quality that all this stuff produces is as good as the expensive stuff 4 or 5 years ago. You know?
Right. And so now that what's actually a part of the content is not going to be just the production value, but what the content consists of is going mm-hmm. to be extremely important.
That's what makes a difference, I mean, is the quality of the content. And I think
mm-hmm. I agree.
That's always a good thing for you with Singing Fish is that all that online content becomes so much higher quality. You guys are going to just grow like crazy.
I think it helps everybody.
Yeah.
You know, it's just another mode of communication that is understandable and highly emotive.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to probably feel something just within yourself as you watch or listen to either a piece of information or a wonderful video or whatever it is that's being imparted to you. Mm-hmm. And so for you to have a more visceral reaction to what you're experiencing, you get closer to that lean into your computer and potentially a lean back experience with your computer. Mm-hmm. It can go both ways.
Sure, sure. Karen, it was great to speak with you again.
Good to talk to you as well, Rob.
To hear about what's going on at SingingFish.com that you've been working on for... Now, how long has Singing Fish been around?
Since 99.
Since 99, okay. So you guys have been around almost as long as we have, or about the same amount of time, so as far as the show, so... I appreciate it. Thank you for spending so much time with us. I know we've been on for like 33 minutes.
It's great talking to you. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to a conversation with Rob Greenlee and Karen Howe, General Manager and Executive Vice President of AOL SingingFish.com. We ran out of time this week. Thanks so much for listening once again. We hope that you tune in to our twice-weekly webcast at webtalkradio.com, where we have discussions and interviews with companies and people and trendsetters on the Internet.
Thank you for downloading the Web Talk Guys. Bookmark us now for next week. Same Web Talk Guys time, same Web Talk Guys channel.